is Cassandra Martin Frazier. Cassandra Frazier joined the CDC's Division of Oral Health in February of 2010. As the evaluation specialist within the program services team, Cassandra leads national-level evaluation projects and provides evaluation-related technical assistance and training for state-based oral health programs. Prior to joining the CDC, she worked as a program evaluator for the state of Georgia, as well as in the private sector. In her free time, Cassandra is co-founder of Shadow Blossom Incorporated, a nonprofit that provides individual assistance in the areas of organizational development and evaluation. Very interesting. Cassandra has a master's degree in public health from Emory University and is a certified health education specialist. Please welcome Cassandra.
Good morning. I am going to talk to you about our evaluation efforts around the CDC state-based oral health program infrastructure and development program, infrastructure and capacity development program, which I will from now on refer to as the infrastructure program. First, I'd like to say that I have no relationships to disclose. I'd like for you to be able to walk away from this presentation describing the core activities for building oral health program infrastructure, identifying the building blocks for infrastructure development, and discuss the key recommendations for CDC and state oral health programs. So first I'll provide an overview of the infrastructure program, then I'll discuss the evaluation efforts that we conducted and share with you some of our key findings, and then discuss some of the lessons learned. So kind of setting the foundation for this discussion, the impetus for the CDC infrastructure program was a recognized need for building public health infrastructure. And this need was thought of or recognized throughout public health in general, but also within the oral health community. In 1999, the Division of Oral Health at CDC funded the Association of State and Territorial Dental Directors to study infrastructure development. ASCDD released a report that outlined several key activities designed to build oral health program infrastructure. Around the same time, the Surgeon General released a report on oral health, noting the diminished capacity of state oral health programs, including an overall lack of resources and a lack of personnel trained in oral health. So in response to this need, the CDC Division of Oral Health established an infrastructure development program. This program was released in 2001, with initial funding going toward 5 states and 1 territory, and building to now 20 states. The primary purpose of this program is to build the capacity of programs to plan, implement, and evaluate prevention and promotion programs. And to describe a little bit about the program, there are several components. First is the initial funding. States receive between $250,000 to $450,000 per fiscal year. States also receive technical assistance and training. They have assigned project officers. They also receive support for evaluation, fluoridation, surveillance, communication. And they also receive specialized workshops and trainings and webinars. Grantees also have access to national partners, such as ASCDD, the Children's Dental Health Project, and also consultants. So there are several key core activities that the states had to complete. These activities range from building their oral health team, developing a burden document, developing a state oral health plan, establishing a statewide coalition, building a surveillance system, identifying opportunities for policy change, coordinating partnerships, coordinating community water fluoridation program management, evaluating their programs, and developing a water fluoridation program and or a dental sealant program. And I want to note that as part of the cooperative agreement, states were encouraged to work through activities 1 through 9 before receiving funding for community water fluoridation and dental sealant programs. Also, these activities had associated performance measures that help guide the programs in the development of these activities. So this map illustrates the programs that were funded from 2003 to 2008. as I mentioned before, the program has grown from 6 total grantees to 20 grantees, but we're going to look at the time frame between 2003 and 2008 for the evaluation efforts. And during that time, we had 12 states and one territory that was funded. I'm not going to name off all of the grantees, but I will point out that you can see there was much diversity. We had larger states, we had small states, heavily populated states, and more rural states. Also, it covered the east to the west coast, so we had a good diversity of grantees. So moving on to our evaluation efforts. This is our program logic model. And as you can see, it's very straightforward, and the components are very linear. And this represented the understanding of infrastructure development around the time of the beginning of the program. This logic model was developed around 2002-2003. One of the key things I'd like to point out is that big question mark, which is in place of the outcomes. At the time, there was better understanding of the work that needed to be accomplished around infrastructure development, the resources, the types of activities, and the outputs, but less understanding about the outcomes. And so there weren't any agreed upon outcomes at that time. So this is actually important to note because it really was the foundation for our evaluation efforts. And it was understood at the time that evaluation would help lend to the understanding of infrastructure development. So the purpose of our evaluation was to understand and document the impact of infrastructure development on oral health programs. And we'll use this information to make improvements to the infrastructure program. Additional purposes include being able to describe outcomes from the program, promoting the expansion of the program, and also inform the direction of future resources. Now, this illustration is very basic, straightforward, oversimplified illustration of the underlying theory behind infrastructure development. As you can see, by building infrastructure development, we'd be able to implement policy and prevention programs, which then lead to health outcomes. So for this evaluation, we focused on that first box and that arrow leading to the second box. What is happening around infrastructure development, and also how does that lead to implementation of policy and prevention programs? So that brings us to our four evaluation questions. Did the grantees accomplish the infrastructure and capacity activities? Does completing the infrastructure and capacity activities lead to support of program implementation? Did the activities promote policy change and prevention interventions? And did CDC technical assistance and funding impact state infrastructure and capacity? To implement this evaluation, we utilized the 6 steps to program evaluation, which is CDC's framework around program evaluation. I won't go through each step, but I will highlight a couple. We did convene a national evaluation work group that was consisted of funded and non-funded programs, as well as national partners. I've already discussed the logic model and our evaluation questions. We utilized a non-experimental design because the base of this was to gather information so that we can learn about what was happening in the program. And we did employ a mixed method approach. And I'm not going to go through the methods step by step, but I do want to highlight the type of information that we collected for this evaluation. We gathered information from the grantees' final evaluation reports. We also looked at the grantees' progress reports, conducted a case study of 4 grantees to get a more in-depth look at what was happening. And then we also conducted a survey around the technical assistance and training. And we also conducted interviews and utilized an environmental assessment to look at the environmental changes from 2003 to 2008. We triangulated all of this data within the questions and across the questions, and along with the work group, looked at the findings, discussed the findings, kind of went back and figured some things out based on the experiences of the work group, and then came up with recommendations for CDC and state oral health programs. So what I would like to share with you this morning are two key findings from the evaluation. And I'm going to focus more on the qualitative aspects of these findings because it's much more straightforward and less convoluted. But really to help describe some of the discoveries from the evaluation. And so those findings are that infrastructure activities are interrelated and build upon each other. And I'll describe the building blocks for infrastructure development. And then the second finding is that building infrastructure helps increase program visibility and leveraging capabilities. So this is what we call our infrastructure building blocks. And this this diagram summarizes an observed approach to infrastructure development along with the corresponding relationships between the infrastructure activities. As you can see, the first layer is focused on people, leadership, partnerships, and coalition. We found that leadership or staff development served as the foundation for all infrastructure activities. So if a program was lacking in staffing, then that would create barriers to completing the rest of the activities. Partners and a coalition supported the development and implementation of program activities. So it's also important to establish partnerships and coalitions up front, as they too served as a foundation for implementing the rest of the activities. Building surveillance capabilities enhanced the effectiveness of state planning, policy efforts, and coalition efforts, which in turn supported program prevention programs. However, I do want to point out that we found in our data that there is that the relationships are neither linear nor static. State oral health programs use these different layers in conjunction. For example, the development and use of surveillance data and coalitions better enable the support of policy action and change. In addition, partners played a key role in supporting the implementation of prevention programs. So you can see there's some jumping around in those layers. However, this framework can help to explain infrastructure development and its expectations and help to identify measures for program activities and outcomes. So I do want to take a little bit of a deeper look at the actual activities represented in the building blocks model. Again, we found that leadership was a fundamental activity, but it wasn't only just having staff on board. The staff had to be skilled and competent in order to ensure the use, dissemination, and engagement of the program activities. And we found that three positions stood out as vital: a dental director, an epidemiologist, both of which were required at that time, and an evaluator. And this was because their associated skill sets were pivotal in the development of the activities, such as burden documents and state plans. As for partnerships and coalitions, both helped to expand the reach of oral health programs, and we found some distinguishing factors between partnerships and coalitions. At the time of the evaluation, we noted that many, as people discuss partnerships and coalitions, they use them interchangeably, but we actually found some factors that were associated with one or the other. For partnerships, they provided additional expertise to state oral health program activities, and they were unique in that they enable programs to achieve outcomes through activity-specific endeavors, either short or long-term. For instance, a program formed a partnership with the state Medicaid program to address policy issues. This particular partnership was very specific and short-lived and only existed to meet the need of the intended purpose. Coalitions, on the other hand, tended to have more long-standing endeavors with the state oral health program. In some cases, coalitions worked on behalf of or independent of the state oral health program to achieve the overall state priority. The coalition as a body worked on legislative efforts and advocated for oral health. So coalitions not only brought manpower to the table, but resources. In terms of surveillance, the burden document, and the state plan, We observed that these particular activities were produced products that were used in combination of each other for planning and evaluation activities, advocacy and policy development, grant writing, and oral health promotion. Independently, these products had specific advantages. Surveillance was used to identify priority issues and also used to shape the objectives for policy agendas. The burden document informed planning of programs and services and also used to strengthen grant proposals for coalitions and partners. An estate plan prioritized oral health issues and strategies. It documented intended outcomes and was used as a recruitment and communication tool. Now, these products did help create awareness and engage stakeholders around key issues, goals, and priorities, as well as help to build a more cohesive oral health community. Now, some of the identified program outcomes was increased leveraging capacity and increased program visibility and supportive environment. The use of surveillance, partnerships, and coalitions helped to increase leveraging capacity. For example, partners increased monetary and in-kind support for the oral health programs. Some partners provided money directly to the program, and other partners helped to identify and vie for additional funding. In terms of program visibility and supportive environment, we noted that the programs discussed having increased visibility both internally and externally as a result of infrastructure activities. Leadership, surveillance, partnerships, and evaluation were all noted as contributing factors to increased attention for the program. 7 of 8 programs that completed the environmental assessment in 2003 and in 2008 noted a positive shift in general support for oral health. So in summary of the findings, there may be an inherent pathway to implementing infrastructure activities, and I say maybe because this needs to be tested. We noted this in our evaluation efforts through looking at the work that was actually completed by the grantees. So it'll be interesting to see if other public health programs or other states are implementing their infrastructure activities in the same manner. Also, order and timing of activities plays a role in effective infrastructure development. And information and products derived from the infrastructure activities must be engaged in order to be effective. So I'm going to move quickly through the key recommendations. The evaluation work group came up with a set of key recommendations, and these are highlighted recommendations that correspond with the findings I shared. State oral health programs should continue developing that base, investing in training and development of staff, building those networks, striving for a self-governing and sustained oral health coalition, and utilizing the activities to secure diverse funding. CDC should continue investing in state oral health program and collaborate with national partners to leverage their own resources. And also identify whether a tiered approach to infrastructure development can work for the program. The biggest question that we had at the end of the evaluation was what's next? So moving toward the next step. Some of the benefits and challenges, establishing an infrastructure program can help build a stronger foundation for addressing national efforts around oral health. It also provides consistency in approaching infrastructure development and brings attention to the state oral health programs. The challenges, however, is that navigating the state uniqueness and complexities is always difficult, especially when we're thinking about looking at effective approaches. And then also, we still need to connect the health outcomes to infrastructure development. The evaluation provided us with information to take us from that first box to the second box, but we still need to work on moving to the health outcomes. So limitations to the study is that we did rely heavily on secondary data, and so reporting variants and gaps in information was present. And then also, there was a lack of outcome data, whether that outcome data was associated with the prevention programs, policy efforts, and then also health outcomes. So we cannot conclude that the infrastructure activities attributed to improved prevention program and health outcomes. So our next step is we actually just completed the revision to our logic model and established outcomes. So that logic model you saw before is no longer. And we're developing a program and monitoring evaluation system, and we'll use the model identified to help frame that system. And then we'll continue with our dissemination efforts through presentations and papers to get feedback from others on this work. Thank you.